Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vext Science second quarter 2021 financial results conference call. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded on Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for research analysts to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulty hearing the conference, please press star, followed by the zero for operator assistance at any time. I will now turn the call over to Jonathan Ross. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ennis. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Vext's second quarter 2021 financial results were released earlier this morning. The press release, financial statements, and MD&A are available on SEDAR, as well as on the Vext website at vextscience.com. We would like to remind listeners that portions of today's discussion include forward-looking statements. There can be no assurance that these forward-looking statements will prove to be accurate or that management's expectations or estimates of future developments, circumstances, or results contained therein will materialize. Risks and uncertainties that could affect future developments, circumstances, or results are detailed in the MD&A and Vext's other public filings that are made available on SEDAR, and we encourage listeners to read those risk factors in conjunction with today's call. As a result of these risks and uncertainties, the developments, circumstances, or results predicted in forward-looking statements may differ materially from actual developments, circumstances, or results. This presentation also includes non-IFRS financial information, and such non-IFRS financial measures are subject to the disclosure and reconciliation included in our news release disseminated earlier today. Forward-looking statements made during this conference call are made as of the date of this call. Vext disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise such information, except as required by applicable law. Vext's financial statements are presented in U.S. dollars, and the results discussed during this call are in U.S. dollars. I am joined on the call today by Eric Offenberger, Chief Executive Officer of Vext, and Bahan Ajamian, Chief Financial Officer. I will now pass the call over to Eric.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining our Quarter 2 2021 Financial Results Conference Call. As a reminder for any new investors on the line, Vext's primary focus is on the Arizona market, where we have operated successfully within the medical market since 2013 and received approval to enter the recreational market in January of this year. We currently operate two dispensaries in Phoenix, which we believe are among the top-performing dispensaries in the state. Arizona is a vertically integrated state. We are currently operating two indoor cultivation facilities, one outdoor cultivation facility, and a manufacturing operation and kitchen. We are developing a third indoor cultivation facility in Eloy that is fully funded. Vape and branded product is on the shelves of the vast majority of the dispensaries in Arizona, and is consistently one of the top-performing brands in the state. Turning to our Q2 results, I am very pleased with our performance in the quarter. Our team worked diligently to drive record results at the dispensary level, as well as to continue building the presence of the Vapen brand on the shelves of third-party dispensaries. As a result, during the quarter, we generated record revenue, was solid at $9.4 million, with a solid gross margin of 45%, and that was steady compared to quarter one of 2021. Adjusted EBITDA was $3.4 million in the quarter, with a margin of 36.6% compared to 33.4% last quarter. Vext continues to focus and deliver profitability, something we have done since 2016. For the 6 months ended June 30th, cash flow from operations was $4.5 million. Our fully diluted earnings per share was 1 cent in quarter two. In our view, Arizona will continue to be one of the most attractive cannabis markets in the U.S. over the next few years, both from an absolute growth perspective as well as based on return on capital. With $55 billion of committed semiconductor manufacturing facilities and the lifting of COVID-related restrictions, the Arizona economy and population will continue to grow. We are anticipating that the remainder of the third quarter and into the first half of 2022, we will see a high influx of winter visitors and tourists to the state. According to MJ Biz, Arizona will be roughly a $3 billion revenue market by 2025. With our two operated dispensaries in the Phoenix metro area, our investments to improve efficiency that reduces cost, the strength of the Vapen brand, and recently announced expansions to both our upstream and midstream footprints, Vex is positioned to continue to solidify a leadership position in the state. We are on track to almost triple our indoor cultivation capacity during the first half of 2022 to approximately 58,000 square feet under canopy from our current 20,000 feet. In a growing limited license state, cultivation and manufacturing leadership are important strategic advantages that help drive margin expansion at retail, support growth in wholly owned brands, and open up additional opportunities to manufacture for others or sell high-quality flower to other players in the market without the capacity. In this case, it is truly a situation where if you build it, they will come. While we see plenty of growth ahead by our operated Phoenix dispensaries and the Vapen brand, we have signed two very interesting deals recently that highlight the power of Vex platform in Arizona and point toward the potential for similarly accretive deals in the future. On July 6th, we signed an MOU with Source Technology Corp to exclusively produce and sell Source's major cannabis-infused beverages in Arizona. Source is a leader in water-soluble emulsion technology for integrating functional ingredients into commercially available consumer packaged goods. Vex will begin selling major beverages in the third quarter. On July 27th, Vex signed an agreement with AgTech PA LLC to exclusively produce and sell Wink THC seltzers in Arizona. Wink is currently partnering with processors across the country to become the first nationally branded premium THC beverage company in the United States. Vex expects to begin selling Wink beverages in the third quarter of 2021. These deals accomplish two main objectives. The first is to fill the gap in Vex's product portfolio to add beverages, which are a key growth segment. Additionally, we get to cover both ends of the consumer spectrum with these two brands. Major offers 100 milligrams of THC in a 200 milliliter bottle, while Wink offers 2.5 milligrams of THC and CBD in a 250 milliliter can. The addition of Major and Wink products rounds out Vapen's offering of concentrates, extracts, edibles, vapes, topicals, and tinctures. The second objective that these deals accomplish is to accretively leverage the access we have to the vast majority of third-party dispensary shelves in the state through the Vapen brand. Even well-known beverages like Major can benefit from a partnership with an established player like Vex to accelerate growth on a relatively capital-light basis. We anticipate that additional opportunities will arise to help out-of-state brands access the Arizona market. Let's turn to Ohio for a moment. While we have a relationship in six states outside of Arizona, we view Ohio as the next leg of the growth of the company and one we can begin to leverage in parallel with continued growth in Arizona. Ohio is a limited license state with a population of roughly 11.7 million in a growing medical market. Ohio reminds us of Arizona in many ways and has the return on capital characteristics we look for. In 2020, we struck an LOI with a partner in the state for a processing license to get the Vapen brand into the market. Currently, Vapen is being stocked on most dispensary shelves in Ohio, is selling well, and we continue to expand the product offerings. On March 15th, we announced that we had signed an LOI that will enable Vex to establish a retail presence in the state through a joint venture with an Ohio LLC. And on July 27th, we announced that the current license holder had received a certificate of operation by the Ohio Board of Pharmacy and was fully operational. Once the license holder has been operational for 12 months, Vex and its joint venture partner may apply to the board for a change in ownership of the provisional license. The countdown has begun. I would like to point out that during the quarter, we consolidated our multi-state footprint by mutually agreeing to terminate our joint venture in Massachusetts. While Massachusetts no doubt will be an important market over the long term, it has been very slow to develop. The combination of ongoing delays in the market, with near-term opportunities to creatively deploy capital in both Arizona and Ohio, have led us to further focus our operations with a view to maximizing growth and returns for shareholders. For the remainder of 2021, we will remain focused on generating organic growth through both our operated dispensaries and continued penetration and share of shelf space with the vaping brand through the wholesale channel. We will also remain focused on building out our upstream and midstream operations, which will support our organic growth objectives, build an additional high-margin revenue stream, and give us the option to accretively add to our retail footprint when it makes sense to do so. Thanks for your time today. I look forward to continuing to update you through what we expect will be a very exciting year for VEX shareholders. I'll pass the call to Vahan for a review of our financial results. Vahan?
Thanks, Eric, and good morning, everyone. As Eric noted, VEX continued to generate solid financial performance in the second quarter of 2021. Revenue during the quarter was $9.4 million compared to $6.7 million in Q2 of 2020 and $9.2 million in Q1 of 2021. As a reminder, VEX provides and charges for services provided to two Phoenix dispensaries and cultivation and production operations that, in accordance with current regulations, are structured as not-for-profits. As a result, our revenue is segmented between management fees, professional services, product sales, equipment leasing, and property leasing. Given these distinct levers we have as to when and for what we can charge dispensaries, the revenue VEX reports in its financials may not perfectly match the underlying operations of our primary customers, the not-for-profit license holders. That said, from a big-picture perspective, Q2 was a record quarter both for our results as well as for the actual dispensaries and wholesale businesses we manage. Last quarter, I mentioned that the state has indicated to operators in the Arizona market will be provided with guidelines to transition to a more typical for-profit structure during 2021. We have now received tax guidance, which was very favorable, and as it stands now, we expect to be in a position to transition to an owned for-profit structure beginning in January 2022. We will aim for a clean break from not-for-profit to ownership on January 1st to keep our quarterly reporting as clean as possible. This shift would make it easier to understand our financial results, reduce quarter-to-quarter fluctuations, and make our results easier to compare with those of operators in other states. Gross profit in Q2 was $4.2 million compared to $2.5 million in the prior year period and $4.2 million in Q1 of 2021. Gross margin in the quarter was 45% compared to 37.8% in the same period last year and 45.4% in Q1 of 2021. VEX has always operated very lean, with a keen eye to return on capital. As a result of this approach, we generated $3.4 million in adjusted EBITDA in the quarter, compared to $1.9 million in the same quarter last year and $3.1 million in Q1 of 2021. Adjusted EBITDA margins remained very strong at 36.6%. VEX has generated $6.5 million of adjusted EBITDA in the first 6 months of this year, which compares to $6.8 million during all of 2020. We generated positive, fully diluted EPS of a penny in the quarter and operating cash flow before working capital of $3.6 million, which was well above the $2.4 million generated in each of Q1 2021 and Q4 2020. VEX ended the quarter with a solid balance sheet. We had $8.2 million in cash at June 30, and as Eric mentioned, the expansion plans we have outlined for the next 12 months are fully funded between that cash balance as well as internal cash generation. Thanks for joining us for our Q2 financial results conference call. I'll now turn it over to the operator for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have any questions, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your question will be polled in the order you received. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment for your first question. Your first question comes from Russell Stanley with Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and congrats on the quarter, and particularly on the cash flow performance.
Thank
Maybe
you,
if I
Russ.
Start just around the update on the develop the cultivation there. Just wondering, your press release, of course, and you mentioned on the call, expecting that to be online in early 22. Just wondering what your timeline then is for first harvest, first revenue, and how long you think it would take for that facility to ramp up to full capacity.
Well, Russ, we're going to build it out in stages, and, you know, obviously, we're doing the permitting process right now, the mechanicals and stuff like that. Fortunately, with that building, there wasn't a lot of demolition needed or anything along those lines, so it'll be a relatively quick process. The biggest obstacle to giving you a firm date right now is the supply chain, as you're well aware of. So we use freezer panels to build out our rooms. It's just a lot more sanitary and quicker, and those are on back order for roughly 5 to 6 months right now. We're hoping to get some earlier, and we'll bring up rooms. If that happens, our plan is to be able to have some plantings done as soon as the first rooms come up. Everything else will be done in the meantime, so that we hope to start seeing some production in the late first quarter that actually is harvested. Because obviously we don't have to do pheno hunting or anything like that. We already have the genetics in Arizona. Fully operational and on a typical 9-week cycle for production, we anticipate to be probably by the third quarter of 2022 that it'll be, you know, fully, as you'd say, up and running. So we'll keep you updated as we see what happens with the supply chain. But that's the biggest hurdle right now.
Got it. Thanks on that. And moving on maybe to the beverage announcements, congrats on those efforts. I think you mentioned that both sales of both product lines are expected to start this quarter. I guess what are the remaining steps to actually getting products on shelves? What, you know, how far down the progress meter are you on that effort?
Well, we actually started this week with doing the encapsulation of the THC, which is really the key to the whole thing, and that's really where Source came into play. As you know, it's tough to keep the THC in a beverage consistent so it doesn't separate, and they've got some good emulsification that does that. And actually, Wink also uses that technology, so that's kind of why it really fit in well. So I would assume everything goes well. By the end of this month, we'll have made the THC, emulsified THC, and then we'll start producing the major beverage. The labeling's done. The bottles are in place. So hopefully by, you know, second to third week of September, we'll start shipping product. I would guess by the first week or second week of September, we'll start taking pre-orders on it. And, you know, we want to definitely get it out there before the holiday season and, candidly, before the tourism season and the winter snowbirds come down, because we think that's where the recreational market will start to hit a little bit better again in Arizona, and, you know, the temperature will break. So we think that that product line will go really well into that marketplace.
And maybe if I could just sneak one more before getting back into the queue on Ohio, I think the state's expected to open up another round of licensing on the retail front. Just wondering if you have color on that process and your plans to participate in it. Thanks.
Yeah, we haven't seen final regulations from the state. We've seen some of the preliminary guidelines in that. Yes, we're active in participating right now. It looks like they're still going to cap it at 5 that you can own in the state on dispensaries. We have secured property in 3 spots at the current time for applying for licensing, which obviously everybody that knows that's one of the key parts is to get your properties down. Fortunately, we've been able to do them similar to what we do in Arizona, where we don't have to commit firmly until we obtain the license. So, yeah, we're active in that, and we think that's going to be continue to be a good thing. You know, without getting into too much detail, we continue to see Ohio as just a tremendous opportunity for VEX, and, you know, really lines up with Arizona for us very well.
Got it. That's great color. Thanks again. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Andrew Semple with Echelon Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning, everyone, and congrats on the Q2 results.
Thanks, Andrew.
Hi, Eric. My first question here, when we look at the peer group and kind of their Q2 results, many have signaled some headwinds to the gross margins as they ramp up production facilities, you know, across the country. You know, you're generating costs without the immediate offsetting revenue. I just want to pose that question to Vex. You know, would you anticipate any margin headwinds in the next couple of quarters as you begin to ramp up productions at the Eloy facility? And just given your unique accounting structure, you know, how would that look from an accounting perspective?
Yeah, Andrew, I think it's anytime you're in an expanding market and people, you know, got really euphoria of, you know, adult use in Arizona, you're going to have some margin pressure or pricing pressure, you know, whichever way you want to call it. The advantage we have right now is that we sell more in our dispensaries than we produce. If we do the ramp up like we've talked about on production, the first parts we'll be able to consume and really won't get hit into that wholesale market until later in 2022. At that point in time, I expect to see some margin pressure. You know, from my standpoint, having background in you know, commodities and stuff like that, you know, we're working on our costs and our efficiency. So, you know, with the outdoor grow coming in on the second year in Prescott Valley, we'll have a cheaper input cost on the biomass, so we'll be able to control a little bit of that. You know, because you don't want to get engaged in a price war with this stuff, and that's you know, tends to be what happens when people overproduce. So we'll control the volume. We won't run everything full out if it doesn't make sense economically. You know, the less is more philosophy. Well, that's yet to be determined, because if I'm right and that the market continues to grow with the influx of the semiconductor in the population, you will probably be able to absorb most of that just from natural growth, so you won't end up into that price pressure or that margin pressure. Demand will take care of that added supply that's coming on.
That's great color. Appreciate that. I just wanted to ask on the wholesale conditions in the Arizona market. I believe premium flower is one sort of kind of product category that you mentioned. You would love to have more of your own supply in that kind of category. Are you able to tap the wholesale market to keep your shelves full with premium flower? Do you feel you know, that format in general is still supply constrained in the Arizona market?
Yeah, we're able to keep our shelf full. You know, it's readily available. Some of it, you know, it's price point somewhere in the $3,000, $3,200 per pound at retail. You know, that's fine. Where you find the biggest disconnect is not on the premium side, because obviously that's more of a niche, smaller product group that you're going to sell in total. Our North store does a lot better for us on that product than the main store, which is more in an urban setting, as we've talked about over the past. So that's a much more price sensitive, and that really comes into play with like our outdoor grow flower or something we'll buy from somebody on the wholesale market that's doing a greenhouse, or, you know, not quite the quality of an indoor flower, or we'll run rooms that are producing more volume versus the quality of the flower. And that's always subjective, but it's, you know, you want to get it at a lower cost point and price point to that store. So yeah, so far, no, we've not had supply interruption where we don't have the product or anything like that. It's just more of, you know, if you could produce more yourself, you could probably increase your sales, but you would end up running more specials or promotions to, you know, drag the people in.
Understood. Great. And great to hear that beverages will be launching in kind of the near term in Arizona. Just given kind of the uniqueness of the operating procedures there for building out a beverage product line, I'm just wondering how the margin profile on those products might compare to kind of the existing Vex branded product portfolio.
Well, you know, obviously in the retail spot, the margin will be similar, you know, a little bit less than our typical if we, you know, fully control it. On the wholesale, the margin will be, you know, will be less, obviously, because you're doing a licensing arrangement. But on the back end, you know, you don't have the R&D cost or trying to develop a flavor profile that really works. And that's really what you see in the competition, you know. The flavors aren't that great. Major has great traction up in Washington, great following. They really know what they're doing on the flavor profile and the taste. Wink is really geared towards that seltzer, kind of like the White Claw type of a product or the Michelob Ultra Seltzer, and it's a lower milligram dosage. I see that really selling well for, like, the lifestyle, you know, like you're promoting it like Norman Rockwell type of picture. You're going to a holiday party, take a Wink. It won't put you in the sofa, but, you know, it'll take the edge off of those family gatherings and for people that don't want to drink alcohol. So we're really happy with that mix. So from that standpoint, Andrew, it's worth giving up some margin to be able to have a good quality product. And what it did for Vex is if you look at the Vapen brand portfolio, it's now complete. So, you know, it's concentrates, extracts, edibles, beverages. We can become a more complete provider to somebody as they start to try to cut their costs down over internally, like most businesses do, you know, less vendors, that type of stuff, more frequent deliveries. We think that positions Vapen a lot better as the market matures.
Understood, and yes, that makes sense. Congrats again on the Q2 results, and I'll get back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently taking questions from analysts. As a reminder, should you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. With that, your next question comes from Graham Crandler with 8 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys, and thank you for taking my questions, and congrats on the quarter. Eric, I wanted to follow up on the comments you made about expecting a stronger back half of the year with more snowbirds and more tourism. Regarding the company's inventory situation, I know there was some careful management of inventory at the onset of REC where you wanted to balance both the medical patients' needs and an influx of demand. How is that going to work in the back half of the year as there's more cultivation coming online? But is there anything you can do in the interim in terms of stockpiling or managing that position to make sure that you're ready as more volume comes through the stores here? Thank you.
Graham, that's a good question. A couple things that we did do is we bought heavy on biomass input that, you know, obviously feeds the Vapen brand product in Arizona. We ran a bumper crop up in Prescott this spring, you know, from the standpoint of did it yield a whole bunch? No, but from the standpoint of cash and that, it's really positive. The crop right now in Prescott, we expanded that outdoor grow, so we're anticipating a big harvest come October, and it'll start going down in stages in September. So we're anticipating that that'll do it and take us through that seasonality. On the flower side, we've got some relationships with some people that are just cultivators that don't operate retail that are doing this lease license thing. From some other MSOs or multi-store owners. So we have some of those established that provides decent influx. That, I think, we're fine. Then if it ramps up like we anticipate it does, and, you know, I'm knocking wood right now, Graham, I hope it does, you'll raise your price, you know, so you'll make more money for what you sell. And that'll be the way you regulate it. So I hope it does what that it's a, that it's such an influx that, you know, we can't keep up. I hope that happens because I'd sure like to see some pricing move up on some product.
And just a reminder for others to prevent any confusion, the inventory we're talking about right now is the inventory at the actual, you know, store or license holder level. The inventory that shows up on Vex Financials is not that because it's not our inventory given the not-for-profit system, just to clear up any possible confusion there for others. Thanks.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Vahan. And a final question for me, just with respect to the staffing levels at the dispensary, you know, lots of conversations across you know, multiple companies, multiple industries about the tight labor market here. I'm wondering if that's been an issue for Vext at all. Have you had to increase any of the wages there? Are you seeing any of that pressure? Thanks.
You know, candidly, it's pretty easy to hire people in cannabis. People still see the industry as a growth industry and somewhere to be, and I think that you attract some people that are cannabis users that they don't have that stigma of potential random drug testing for other industries. So I see that as being an employer that tried to hire people in other industries. You know, I've really noticed that. That said, yeah, you have some pressure on wages. You know, you're competing against the 7-Elevens, the Quick Trips, the CVS pharmacies. You know, so we're moving closer to a $15 starting wage. You know, the bud tenders are getting tips. We have a incentive program that's kind of like a profit sharing for the most part that, you know, we use in that, and our people do well. Then, you know, they participate in that. So that's not been a problem. And we don't have a big turnover. So normally on retail, Andrew, I think turnover runs somewhere in the 50% range. On our dispensaries, it's in the low to mid-teens, you know, for turnover. So it's quite a bit different than industry standards in cannabis. Cultivation, outdoor, a little bit more of a challenge because it's more farming and, you know, it's a tougher job, obviously. But so far, so good. And then we've invested a lot. You know, thank you for the shareholders that have given us the funds. We've invested a lot in equipment to help us produce things faster and more efficiently. And we're really starting to see those come online. We think our labor costs actually is going to go down as we go into 2022. And, you know, the manufacturing comes on stream and all those investments start to make their way into the marketplace.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much for that.
Yep.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Have a great day.